And I just read Isaiah 60 over and over and over again. And it really just did something in my spirit. And even reading other things, I'm sort of one that as I'm reading the word, I don't just pick up my Bible and I keep going and I just keep going until I fall asleep or whatever. I'm one that will go back and I will read over the same little, you know, five or six verses over and over and over and over again, because I want to get it in my spirit. And the exciting thing is that when you do that, and Guy realized that this is what was happening with me in the last week, everything that I sort of put my mind to and meditated on that evening while I was in bed and perhaps during the day, the very next day some situation or something would happen. It's like, ah, oh, I know the answer to that. It's in Matthew 4. I know the answer to that. It's in Isaiah 60. I know the answer to that. It's in 2 Timothy 1 or whatever. And so I just really want to encourage you. You know, we are vessels being poured out. And the only way we can be poured out is if we're filled first. And so just, man, this word, it is powerful, isn't it? We know it's powerful. It's a living word. And so if we allow it to come in, it can't help but come out. I was very blessed this week. I was able to attend my first Bible study with deaf people. Some of you will know I've been learning sign. I'm so excited about it. And so there I was and got, you know, oh, maybe three quarters of what they were talking about. It is funny, deaf people or people that sign, they're all around the table, and the only way to get someone's attention is to slap them. So at one stage, everyone's slapping each other because they're all wanting to talk to each other and you've got to make eye contact. But the scripture they were talking about was in Jeremiah, how Jeremiah is feeling sort of trodden on and, oh, man, Lord, these people do not want to know you. They have hardened their hearts towards you. And yet Jeremiah says, but Lord, I will continually make mention of you because your word is like a fire and I can't not. Your word is like a burning fire. I cannot help but minister your word and say your word. And what an incredible place to be in if we get like that. So I want to touch on Isaiah 60, but obviously I want to backtrack a little bit, as I love to do. And the word arise, and I remember saying to Tim, I might just do a word study on arise. What's the deal with arise? It's quite amazing. What I love, let's go into Isaiah 60 first. Let's just see where we all end up today. Hallelujah. Isaiah 60, and we'll come back to it, no doubt. Is powerful. I was just so excited. Arise, shine, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Goes on to say, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. We know there's darkness over the earth, but then it says, and gross darkness the people. Wow. You know, I'm in contact with someone now at the moment. They just want to sit in darkness. That's their confession. There's no hope. I'm happy just to sit in my little box in the dark. I love the dark. Gross darkness comes across the people. They don't know anything else. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. How awesome is that? What a great confession is that when I'm walking the streets. The word says that there's darkness over the earth, there's gross darkness over the people, but hallelujah, the glory of the Lord is going to rise upon me and it shall be seen upon me. Man, if that doesn't make you feel good, I don't know what will. I'm walking the streets and I can say to myself, the glory of the Lord is upon me and the people that are in great darkness will see his glory upon me. Hallelujah. You know what? You don't have to do anything else because the glory of the Lord is upon you. Going back to Old Testament, I just want to touch on a couple of other scriptures that mention the word arise. So firstly, we have Genesis chapter 13. Verse 17, and the Lord is talking to Abraham And we know that he was told to come out and be separate. It says, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. Hallelujah. So, Sharon, walk through the Redlands. Walk through the length of it. Walk through the breadth of it, and I will give it to you. Hallelujah. Walk around your house. Every promise that I have told you, I will give it to you. When you're walking around the Redlands this coming week, walk around the length and the breadth of it. God will give it to you. You don't have to pay for it. He will just give it to you. How exciting is that? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 11. Now the Lord is talking to Moses. And the Lord said unto me, arise, take your journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Lord is saying, Moses, take the people and let's go. Let's go and let's go and take the land that I have promised to your fathers. Who was Moses' father? Abraham. And it's interesting when we look at the next chapter, you will see a little pattern here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. The Lord says to him, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. Wow. So I'm going to walk down these stairs after church, and that's where my foot's going to tread, and that's the land God has given to me. Amen? And it's interesting, when God is talking to Joshua, God says, as I've said to Moses. And as God is talking to Moses, it's as I've said to your fathers, being Abraham. And we know that, you know, Abraham is the father. So God speaks first to the father, and then as he's speaking to Moses, he refers back to the father. And as he's speaking to Joseph, he refers back to Moses, because they all know each other. It's like, yes, you said it to him and you're saying it to me. It was done for him, so it's going to be done for me. Hallelujah. And how confidently can we walk in the things of the Lord and all of his promises and all of his benefits if we've already had a track record with the Lord, knowing that he has provided our needs. Amen. I was sharing with someone yesterday. They're not sure about what's in the future and what's happening. I said, do you believe that God can do this? I'm not sure. Okay, can we go back to a time where we remember that God has done something for you? Yes, I can remember that. So do you think it's the same God that did that that's going to do it for you now? Yeah, I never thought about it. Amen. If God's done it once and he never changes, he's going to do it again and again and again and again. Because all of his promises are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just love it. I love the word. Want to have a quick look at Isaiah 52 too? You can flick backwards from Isaiah 60 if you like. So the people are in captivity. Before I say that, let me say this. It's interesting that God just told Abraham to go into the promised land, the land of Canaan, and off he did, off he went. It was just given to him. Canaan is called the land of purple, and purple is the color of royalty. Hallelujah. We are children of the King. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's paint the Redlands purple and get on with the job. Hallelujah. So Abraham went into the land of Canaan. But then as the generations come down, Joseph ends up in Egypt. We know that. And then because his family needed natural provision, they found themselves in Egypt. They left the promised land to come back into Egypt. But the plan was always to get out of Egypt. We don't want to be in Egypt. This is not the promised land. Canaan is our promised land. Joseph finds himself in Egypt. The family follow for natural provision, for what they thought was best. What they saw in the natural, they thought what was best, and yet they end up in slavery, don't they? They end up in captivity. They go back into bondage. But the Lord had already released them through Abraham and given them the promised land. So then what happened next? They had to fight for everything. For every bit of ground, they had to fight. What God had given Abraham freely, Moses and all those ones had to fight and fight. And Joshua, they had to fight and they had to fight. They got there in the end, but then I guess sometimes, and we're all the same, things are going great, we just let those little things slide. And before we know it, there's little idols that have crept in. Before we know it, we're having a little gossip, a little whinge about the pastor and his wife. And whatever. I know, I hear it. And so here they are now, they're in captivity again. Isaiah 52, verse 2, and this is what is said. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bands of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. I feel this is a word in season for some of you here today. Let's look at this. Shake yourself from the dust. You know, even Jesus said to the disciples when they went out, if there's no town or if the house does not receive you or anything, when you leave, shake the dust from your feet. So guys, get out of your misery and out of your captivity. Get up, shake the dust off. Let's get rid of the past. Let's pick ourselves up. It doesn't matter. All the dirt that is around you, all the situations you find yourself in, shake it off. Shake off the dust is the first thing he says. Put it in your past. It has no place in your present or your future. Hallelujah. The only things we should remember from our past is God's faithfulness and God's testimonies. You know, it's amazing. The disciples walk with Jesus. They saw the bread being multiplied. They saw Jesus walking on water and all this stuff. And you read about it. And in the very next chapter, they're going, who's this guy? What is he talking about? I don't understand. I don't get it. It's like, really? You are walking with this man for 3 years, 3.5 years, and yet you still question? You have seen things with your own natural eye? You're joking me, right? We need to constantly put into remembrance the testimony of God's faithfulness in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's only the garbage we keep in the past because it doesn't matter. And as Pastor Guy shared last week, our setback is actually our setup. Storms come to reroute us sometimes to get us back on track. So he says, shake yourself from the dust. Arise. When we arise, you know what? We take our position. When we arise and we shake that dust off, we say we're ready. When we say before the Lord, I'm rising up, it means we're ready to be led. Hallelujah. That's very exciting. But then he says, and sit down. But it's talking about being seated in authority. And when we sit down, we know we're a little bit relaxed. We don't have to worry because we know God is in control. Amen. We do not need to worry about what's going on. And in reading through the week, I was coming across the scriptures about the children coming to Jesus and the disciples trying to shoo him away. And I was out in the backyard as I was reading this. And Jesus says, just let the children come to me. You need to be as little children to come into the kingdom. And I'm standing there and I'm pondering on this. And I'm watching my boys running around in the backyard. And they would go and they would pat the dog and then they would go and pick leaves off the tree and then they would muck up Pastor Guy's grass because he's very particular about his grass. And then they would go and try and turn the tap on and sometimes they get into trouble and they need a little bit of pulling back. But you know what? As I looked at them, I understood what Jesus meant. He meant, you know what? You do not need to worry about anything else. They're not worrying about what's for dinner. They're not worrying about where they're going tomorrow. They're not worrying about where money's coming from. They're not worrying about what's next. They are just living in the moment. And all they have to do is what I'm trying to teach our defiant justice. All you need to do is say, yes, Mum. Yes, Mum. Come here, please. Yes, Mum. So as a child of God, the King who owns everything, who has everything at his disposal, that when he speaks, the storm stops, that when he speaks, fish get multiplied. All we have to do is not worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, the word says. Don't worry about what you'll wear and what you'll do and where you'll go. But we just need to keep our eyes on the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you've asked. And I say to my boys, you need to learn how to be obedient to Dad and I. Otherwise, you won't know how to be obedient to God when you get older. Yes, Lord. I will be as a child. I will not worry. I will not fret. And I will just say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. Hallelujah. It's that simple. We turn this Christian walk into something big and whatever. But you know, all that's happened, and the New Testament says it, that you've turned It says you have turned the commandments of God into the doctrine of men, or might be around the other way, meaning you've taken the tradition of man and you've made it the doctrine of Christ or the commandment of God. And that's never what he designed his word to be. It goes on to say, sit down, loose yourself from the bands of your neck. So they've got, let's picture it, someone with bands around their neck. Dare I say, if you're a Star Wars person, picture Princess Leia sitting underneath Jabba the Hutt with that thing around her neck. And she's pulling and she's pulling, and every time he'd pull, she'd be in pain and there was no getting out of it. Loose off the bands of your neck. The bands are a restraint. It's the in that place of captivity. This is a picture of captivity. And sometimes we put the bands on our neck. We need to allow these bands on our neck that keep us in slavery, our sin, our disobedience, our unwillingness to change, our independence, all of this keeps us in a restraint and it keeps us in bondage. But it is up to us. The word says, take off those bands. Take them off. Loose them. It's up to us. You know what? If you do not take off that band, it's covering our throat. It will eventually choke us and suck the wind, the very breath out of us. Hallelujah. That's exactly what will happen. God is saying, arise. Shake yourself from the dust, arise, and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. So let's go back into Isaiah 60. Arise, arise, arise. And you can go back and read Isaiah 59, maybe later on today, as you go through it and you meditate on it. How exciting is this? Arise, shine. It's time to shine, people, for your light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you and his glory shall be seen. And get this in verse 3. Look what happens. And the Gentiles shall come to your light. And the kings to the brightness of your rising. The Gentiles. The heathens, the ones that don't believe, I don't know, there's just something about you. I've got to be around you. There's something. I know Lisa has a friend that when she's feeling all dark and in trouble, she just goes to Lisa's house because she knows she's going to grab a bit of light and she's going to go back home with that light. And then when that light starts to fade, because she's not a believer, not yet, it grieves the Holy Spirit, and we know the Spirit departs when he's grieved. And so then she comes back again, gets more light, hangs around in the light. And any wonder there's always moths around a light because they love the light. People love the light. They may think they don't like the light, but that's exactly what the word is saying. The Gentiles shall come to your light. Hallelujah. So as you walk around the Redlands, the length and the breadth of the land, knowing full well that God has promised it to you and he will give you that land, knowing you don't have to go seeking or doing anything because the Gentiles will just come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you have got chains or bands around your neck right now, for the love of God, let's take them off. Let's shake the dust off ourselves and let's get on with the job. Let's arise. Let's remember the authority that we have in the name of Jesus Christ to pull down every stronghold and to set the captive free. Hallelujah. And let's walk in victory. Amen. It's there. It's ready for the taking. Let's walk in it. Hallelujah. And I was getting so exciting reading Isaiah chapter 60 in bed one night. I'm saying, Guy, you don't understand. They're going to bring all their camels. They're going to bring all their gold and they're going to bring all their silver and they're going to lay it at your feet. And how exciting is that? They're going to give over everything because they see that light. They see the glory of God upon you. And then I turn over and I think to myself, I wonder what the very next chapter says. Hello. Isaiah 61, we all know, and I laugh my head off. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Hallelujah. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. If you are captive today, liberty in Jesus' name. And the opening of the prison to them who are bound. And I don't care what your prison is right now. It is open. It has no authority over you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's exciting. We'll keep moving. We'll keep moving. Whew, I love the word. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. Here's Jesus. He's been baptized and he's ready to start his ministry. Chapter 4, verse 16. Look at this. He's walking. Jesus walking around. Verse 16 says the people sat in darkness. Wow, here they are sitting in darkness again. What is it about darkness? We just love to sit in it. It's kind of like a pity party, isn't it? We just lock ourselves in our room. We turn the lights off and we just sit there and rock in the fetal position. It's always in darkness, isn't it? The people which sat in darkness, they saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. So here they are, sitting in darkness. And here comes Jesus. Light. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say in verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach. What's the first thing he says? Repent. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we are closer than we were yesterday to seeing the kingdom of heaven at hand again. Hallelujah. I was watching a great little YouTube clip yesterday about this young girl, African-American lady. I think her name's Lana from memory. She wanted to tell everybody about repenting. She said she'd come to the Lord, but she was just doing everything any other Christian was doing. They were going out clubbing and doing their thing on a Saturday night, and they're coming to church thinking they were doing great because that's what every other young Christian was doing. And so she said, you know, we would come to church hungover, but we're like, God, we're here. We're here. We're listening to your word. And she was in one relationship after the other, and on it went. And then all of a sudden, Jesus spoke to her and said, Lana girl, you know how they talk. Do you think you're going to heaven? She goes, yeah, I'm saved. You're in sin. You're fornicating. I've got grace, but you know what? My justice is right. You can't get away with anything. She's like, but Lord, I'm not murdering. Doesn't matter. Sin is sin. And I think it was Jesus that said, if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. And so she starts saying to all of her friends, repent, 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 repent. Say you're sorry, turn around, shake the dust off, loose that band around your neck and let's get on with it. There's so much to be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just over the page, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Again, it's talking about light. It's saying in verse 13, you're the salt of the earth, etc., etc. Verse 15, neither do men light a... Oh, verse 14, sorry. You are the light of the world. You, Christine, Russell, Joel, Andrew, Bronny, that whole row up the back. You are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So as I read this, I think to myself, does this mean that unless our light is shining, they won't see all the good stuff that we do? And I think that's what that's saying. Let your light so shine before men so that they will see your good works. Because you can be running around doing great stuff. You know, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we healed in your name? Yada, 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 yada. It doesn't mean anything because there's no light shining. So it's important to arise and let our light shine. I want to finish with this verse now and just bring a little challenge as I do. It's me. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And this is what we've called to do. Anyone will know we've all had hard times, but we need to endure hardness. We need to get through it. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are we all not soldiers of the Lord? Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ, the Most High God today? Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ today? Hallelujah. So here's what it says about a soldier. No man who wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. No man who wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You can almost get some scales in your life. Am I banging on about this more than I am about the Lord? Am I doing this more than I am reading my word? We can judge ourselves, we know. And we all say it, I could read my Bible more, I could pray more. Yes, of course we could. But if we, you know, walk in that light, there's no condemnation. Hallelujah. And then it says that he, the soldier, may please him, the Lord, who has chosen him to be a soldier. Hallelujah. I want to please my Lord. I want everything I do and everything I say be pleasing to him. Hallelujah. And then it says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. That's just saying, unless you play by the rules, you're not going to be crowned lawfully. So that's just food for thought this morning. You are a good soldier of Christ. It's time, and I love how we sing that song, Rise, Your Shackles Are No More. We are our own worst enemies sometimes. Sometimes it's us that has to determine in ourselves, we are going to take this shackle off. Sometimes God just does it miraculously for us. Praise God, because they're probably the ones we wouldn't be able to do ourselves anyway. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah.